I honestly had no idea that this AMA would run this long, and I didn't really have as much time as I thought I would to fulfill it, all these questions. So I'm going to do something that I watch a lot of makeup artists do and YouTube tutorials, and a segment called Get Ready With Me. I am currently doing my makeup, and this is probably the most free time I have to just sit and talk with you. So let's do that. Why don't you sit and get ready with me? In my haste to fit all of these questions in, I sort of skimmed over a lot of questions and missed some, and also I didn't put as much detail in a lot of my answers as I would have liked. If I had my druthers, I would like to just erase it all and do it all over again and give you one long, seamless audio of these answers, but I'm trying to let that go and I'm trying to be a better person and embrace my flaws. So I will address those here, such as what made you want to do audios. Strangely enough, I have been doing a form of erotic audio by myself and didn't really know it. Before I even knew that was such a thing. Music really does conjure up scenes and stories to me, and long drives. I do a lot of commuting, or did for a while. And I would, with the music blasting and me being somewhat able to hear my own voice, I would just talk and make these scenarios. One of which I remember of being at a bar by myself at a table and some guy coming over trying to hit on me, and me telling him how he feels this night is going to go, and painting out this whole scenario of him taking me back to his place and probably dominating me, or just us fucking all around in great detail. But yet we're just still at this table, and I think I left him there. Something like that. And it was really hot. If I can remember, or even better, remember what song that was too, I could probably do an audio to that. And that was years before I even discovered GWA, so I was sort of doing it on my own without the knowledge of this place or this medium. Once I did discover it, I was still naive to thinking I could do it myself, until I decided to see what other females were doing on here. And by here, I mean GWA, Reddit. I don't know if I maybe got a bad day or a bad, I'm not the best day for posting on GWA for Women. There are wonderful voices and extremely great talent on there. But that day, the audios that I actually clicked on of females were just so ridiculous and so whiny, and I just I laughed. I really did laugh when I heard it, and I said, "Oh my God, I could do better than that." So figured out how, and that's how I got started. Yeah. What other one did I miss? What is the strangest request you've ever gotten? That's easy. I understand it's a big world and there's a lot of fetishes to be had. I would never yuck someone else's yum. But there are some things I just don't understand. Try as I might, I can't get the whole sissy thing. I just can't. And I can't get the diaper thing. There's a few more that I just can't, I just don't get. But one that I've never actually encountered, I got a request from someone who wanted me to do an audio with balloons. Like a long, slow audio of getting the balloon out of the bag, stretching it, blowing it, inflating it, rubbing, I think rubbing it around my body, something like that. And I could, that, I don't get that at all. That was a very strange request. I respectfully declined. And soon after, I got a message asking if I would fill a script, which I get those requests often. And the script was of a naughty nurse and something having to do with balloons. And it was so far out there. And this person was not joking. It was not a joke. I looked at their post history, and their post history was filled with a lot of, I think, on Dirty Pen Pals or somewhere else, just looking for anyone to fulfill this balloon, this balloon fetish. So, that's gotta be the weirdest. That's definitely the weirdest one I've ever got, by far. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? That's cute. Oh, you see, I have no idea because I know nothing about woodchucks because I'm just a pheasant plucker. Actually, I'm not the pheasant plucker. I'm the pheasant plucker's son, and I'm only plucking pheasants till the pheasant plucker comes. You might need to ask someone else about that. Another thing I wanted to add on as I keep going onto Reddit after recording the last AMA segments, the subreddits that I frequent. I don't know why I just picked one or two and I stopped by so many. As I keep going on Reddit, I keep thinking, oh, I should have added that one. So here are a couple more that I do frequent. And I think when I said lady boners, I didn't add the gone wild part of it. I didn't pay attention about that part, but yes, lots of nude men, lots of cock, lots of ass. I didn't add the GW. That's kind of important. I really don't care to see you with your pants on. So yeah. How about let's just go down the list here. A great subreddit that I like for porn is a subreddit called Chick Flicks with three X's. It's a community of what females would like to see in porn, not so much like romantic stuff, but they focus more on, they want to see the guys' faces or they want to hear men moan, but it's a really nice forum of finding a different kind of porn. I like it. Edging Talk, I get a lot of inspiration there. Like to hear how different guys are edging. Well, not that I don't all the time, but maybe here. How different guys are edging outside of my program, and I get a lot of inspiration from there. Femdom community, I said that. Femdom personals, I really enjoy reading those. I just love submissive men, and I love hearing what they're looking for. I think that helps me as well become a better dom. Forearm porn, I really like that page. I love veins more so. I love veins. I really love veins. I love them in the forearm. I love them in the pelvic region. I love them on the neck. Ooh, and if I could find a good forearm, veiny. So the word porn on the end of that title. It's very appropriate for me anyway. I love a good forearm. Gay kink, jacking. Of course, more guys jacking off. I just love it. NSFW ASMR, only because trying to get information about it, I don't know much about the whole ASMR thing, so that's more research than it is anything else. Orgasm control, pegging unkinked. Good videos and content of pegging without the whole sissy aspect. It's not for me. Post orgasm, random acts of muff dive. Those are really good reads. I'm always looking for the hashtags that are in my city or close to me. I like to just think, what if? I wish they had pictures next to it, but I guess that's what the PMs are for, all that. And the success stories are really exciting to read. Sensual MFM, good porn on there. Sex subreddit, good conversations on there. Submissive men and whip it out. Those are all pretty much my. Oh, I have a few more, but those are pretty much the ones that I visit frequently. The suitable for work ones, I'm not really on that side so much. I spend a lot of my time on Instagram. I'm really addicted to memes. That's my outlet for it. But for the vanilla side of Reddit, retrofuturism, it's really cool. The way we were, old school cool, that sort of stuff. Like things of the past. So those are the ones I just wanted to get back to. And now, back to your questions I haven't answered. Do you produce audios which solely reflect your own kinks and turn-ons, or do you explore outside of those? I try to explore if something interests me, or like I said, the ASMR I'm not familiar with, but I'm learning about it and it's been fun exploring exactly what that is. So I'm open to things if I've talked about it with somebody else or someone has opened my mind to it. But I think with anything in sales, which in essence what this is, I'm selling my voice and I'm selling a fantasy. And like if anything, if you believe in the product, it sells itself and I don't have to work as hard. So it's much easier to stay within the kinks that I enjoy rather than really push myself to ones that I don't understand or I'm not comfortable with. I really wish I could give you more submissive ones, but I'm just not that, so it's harder to sell, and I think it would feel more of like a sell than me. Have you discovered any new kinks you weren't aware you had through GWA or the process of producing audios? Spitting. I had no idea I like spitting so much. I always thought that was gross. I would see that in porns and just go, ugh, it seems so just unsanitary and gross, even though I'm not that of a prude. But I remember hearing it in an audio and just thinking, I like that. So spitting, yes. And maybe a little incest. Not crazy about it, but I've heard just one audio that I never am in the incest thing, but I heard one audio that just so fucking hot that I surprised myself with that one. I didn't know I could go there. I guess I can. So those two. Also, you have talked before about going through the archives to find older unfulfilled requests, and I wonder what tends to draw your eye, if there's anything in particular. Yes, I do. I look at a lot of requests. Of course, I go first towards the femdom tag because that's my wheelhouse. But I'll click on a lot of requests because a lot of them are just surprising. I like to just look at any and all requests and just sit with it for a bit and see if my mind can even make something of it, kind of like a writing challenge to myself. Could I do something with that? And if I can't, I let it go. But sometimes there might be just something there that's very intriguing and I'll just hold on to it. So it's kind of unpredictable in that respect. But I'll read any and all requests. My most popular audios are requests. So there's something about requests that really get my creative juices flowing.
answers that. In your experience, how does controlling your voice through recorded audios compare to the real thing, like in person? Well, it doesn't. I don't get that physical response. So what I do appreciate is that it does take a lot of communication, verbal, written communication, which is unique. Whereas in person, I would focus on my partner's body and breathing, and there would be very little words said at all. So it is a completely different experience. Special. Very special. If anything, it might be even more intimate. Or an intimacy on a different level than actual touch, skin to skin. The mind is such a powerful sexual organ. So it is different, yes, and I think it just differs in that way, in the whole communication. I enjoy both. I don't really prefer one or the other. I think both of them, I'm able to get a genuine hold on you. Also, have you read any good books lately? Yeah, about that. I really wish I could be an avid reader, but I'm not. I feel that my terrible public school system failed me greatly. There was not an emphasis on reading. A lot of books that everybody read growing up for class, I never did. And my teachers never really cared if you read the material or not. They kind of just wanted you to show up. Yeah. Not the best. Also, too, I have always been working. I've worked, when I say my whole life, I mean I've worked my whole life. Anytime I had to myself, I would work. And I loved it. So I never really, like, it's probably not fair to say I never really had time to read. It never interested me. Work interested me greatly. And that's all I ever wanted to do. That's not to say I haven't read books or I don't read. For me, though, it takes me so long to get through a book. If I read 3 pages, I go to sleep. It's very hard. Some of you have seen through my comments and such that I have synesthesia, where I see words and numbers in color, and it's a lot to read words and letters. It's like speaking 2 languages. So reading can sometimes just be extra taxing on my eyes and my brain, and it takes so long for me to somewhat comprehend text like that. I find audiobooks work much better for me. So the whole reading thing, I'm just not that person. I wish I was. I know a lot of you are. I get that question a lot about books and favorite books and what are you reading, and I'm surrounded by a bunch of readers. I'm not that person. So, sorry to disappoint, but that's me. Okay. Creatively speaking, which audio has been the most challenging to create? If possible, could you elaborate why? The screaming audio that I did, titled In an Instant, was extremely difficult to coordinate. If you've listened to it, it's very short, but I am screaming my head off. That's not something you could just do at home with neighbors without them calling the cops.
So what I did is I got in my car and drove to a secluded area off a woodsy highway and did it in my car. It's very short because cars were driving by, so when I would listen back to the audio, you can hear the car driving by. So I had this small window of time where there were no cars coming. So I just let it rip. And it was so much fun. I had the best time. I really wish I could do another one where I actually cry. That experience afterwards, I was so excited driving away. You could not wipe the smile off my face. And I was hooping and hollering and pounding on my steering wheel. I had the best time making that. I wish I could make more of those, but to coordinate that was really, it took a lot. Kind of embarrassing, but I got the job done, made the content, and I'm very happy with its results. It's a unique one. Are you a one take type of performer? Or do you record your scripts in sections? Before I found Audacity, I would have to do it in one take because I couldn't edit. So I would only just clip the beginning and the end of the actual recording. But now, since I still do sit and do it in one session and edit out small details or mistakes. I wish I could do it in parts, but mostly I don't because I feel that the sound changes if I move around. So if I record it in, even if I go to the same spot and I record, for some reason the levels don't match and I'm not really good at the whole equalizing thing. So there would definitely be a break in where you can tell in the sound of where I began and where I took a break and started again. Those would be the benefits of having an actual recording area, so everything sounded the same, but I am not that hi-fi. I am lo-fi. So that's why I do it all in one sitting, so to speak. So I have to carve out a little bit of time. Here you go. Is there a part in the creative process that triggers a little procrastination? For instance, writing a script, recording, re-recording, editing, or something else? All of those things. Also, too, my mood. I might have the time for it. I might have a whole day to myself, but just may not be up for it. Any of you who have recorded or even recorded something privately for me, I think you understand how that goes. It's not easy. But once I do record it, it's all systems go. Then it's just technical stuff that I can just sit and tinker with. That's not the problem. The biggest problem is just finding the mood where I'm ready to record. Again, it's selling. If I'm not in the mood, I think you'll be able to hear it. And I don't want to give that to you. I want to give you my best, and I want to be excited and on for you. If some of you remember in the retrospective where I said, "What have I learned?" and I claimed that I learned I could do audios faster than I thought, that keeps haunting me. And I realize I was able to do them on the fly because I was in it and the series was live and I still had to come up with a couple days, so it was easier. I was so inspired and so excited, so it was super easy just to knock out a few more. I was always in the mood. Looking back, I probably should have recorded series 2
while series one was going on. I was just on such a roll. Now I have put this added undue pressure on myself to make it fantastic. So right now, everything that I record is garbage at first listen. And then I take a step back and I realize, oh, I guess that's pretty good. So that procrastination and self-doubt are major killers in this. Ooh, that's turning out well. Nice. How many takes did it take for day 14 to have that it's ready feeling? I'm pretty sure third time's a charm. I recorded that one once, twice, three times a May Day. Does that show my age? The first time was good. Well, it was good for me. I had an extremely good orgasm during that first one. But I felt it was too short and I felt it was too rushed. It wasn't right. And I think I didn't incorporate, like I ended up doing, I didn't incorporate elements from the whole series, such as the nail tapping or recounting certain days. It was just kind of cut and dry, and I knew I could do better. So second time, I did better. And this is without a script. So I did better, but talking-wise, point-wise, content-wise, I just didn't feel my orgasm or performance was that great. So third time, I was determined this is going to be it. And it was. I felt good. And frankly, I kind of didn't have the time to do it a fourth time. So I made sure that it was great. So yes, that went a bit heavy. Thing with makeup, you have two eyes, not one. Motherfucker. Oh, and making them match isn't always the easiest thing in the world. Fuck. Before you are about to record, do you have a way to prepare yourself mentally, or do you wait until the mood feels right? I sort of make a schedule with myself, like a few days prior, telling myself, okay, today you're going to record this. And knowing that that's what's going to happen, I've scheduled that. I make myself do it. I also put myself in the frame of mind that if I were a paid actor, I would have to do it no matter how I felt. The show must go on. So doing that, putting myself in that frame really helps. So when the day comes, I'm prepared, I'm ready, and I do it. So it doesn't always work out, but that's 80% of the time, that's how I do it. On average, how much time do you allot for a recording session? Usually an hour. Knowing that there's 15 minutes for setup and 15 minutes for cleanup. did I just say that? Yes, cleanup. So an hour and a half, about that. In general, do you give yourself leeway for improv when recording a script, or are you a line-by-line type of performer? When it's my words, I'm line-by-line because they're words that I've chosen. If I'm doing someone's script, I read it a bunch of times, over and over, so I'm familiar with it and the words can flow easier. through that process, I might improv something and then add it to the script itself so I don't forget it. That's my process with improv. Any chance of creating a blooper reel? No. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Hell no. One being that when I edit something, whatever I cut out, it's just gone. I throw it away and I don't keep the original. I don't have time for that. I just go. I don't like cluttering. I don't like clutter at all, whether it be in my home or in my computer, in my phone. I throw shit away. I don't want it. Second of all, I don't really care to show that side of bloopers and goofiness. Not so much goofiness, but unless you want to hear a lot of snorts and sniffs and burps, I kind of don't want to show myself in that light. So you're not going to hear that. I rarely have anything fall or anything crash. Nothing like that. Most of the things I edit are those specific things or exterior sounds, dogs barking or trains or something like that. But nope, no blooper reels here. Sorry. Do you have a sweet spot when it comes to the length of an audio? For listening to an audio? Yes. 10 minutes. It's 10 to 12 minutes is the sweet spot for an audio that I want to listen to. That's about how much time I need to warm up, masturbate, and come. So 10 minutes. Sometimes there's one or two audios that are just so fucking good, but they're like 4 minutes, so it's not difficult to put those on loop. I'd rather not. Kind of interrupts my personal time. 10 minutes. Wait a second. Okay, give me a minute. This is liquid eyeliner here and takes a very steady hand. Little movement. So by talking, I could fuck this whole thing up. Hang on. Perfect. Okay, where was I? Scripted audios or improvised ones? Which ones do you tend to listen to the most? Improvised ones. I rarely listen to scripted ones, only because I just like hearing a guy get off. I like hearing what's going through his mind. I like hearing a slick cock. I love all those things. And there are some scripted ones that I really do like. I really do. But he's got to be somewhat of a good performer to pull it off, sell it. So I'm not opposed to those. I do like them. I have heard ones where the script is really good, performer's really good, and then I can sense a fake orgasm. Let me tell you guys, you can't pull it off as well as we can. Along the way, we all learn a thing or two about the world and about us. Any words of advice for young Opal? Doesn't have to be about kink. My greatest advice that I give, or that I learned and I give to others, somewhat of a metaphor, but also very true. My motto is let it fall. I've hurt myself so many times. If something is about to fall and I go to grab for it, I've cut my hand, I've punched something, I've broken nails. Just let it fall. Because what all you're going to have to do is just bend over and pick it up. It's going to fall. Why waste the energy to do that? And I found that cute little motto has come in handy for many other things, situations. Just let it fall. Whatever problem is happening, situation, just let it fall. Not to say that it'll work out, but once it falls to the ground, you'll understand what you're working with, and you can better understand how to pick it up and put it back where it was. So let it fall. Think about it.
Let's say you had to make an elevator pitch of your GWA work to a potential listener. What would you say?
Well, not much. I'd probably say if you're looking for a quality female domination experience in an erotic audio format, here's my card. Something like that. Longest period of denial you've ever experienced? I don't. I come whenever I please. And that's the best part of the whole tease and denial experience. I get whatever I want.
Okay, and that seems to be it. And
I am done.
I look beautiful. Put on a little lipstick here. It's all about the finishing touches, am I right? This was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for all of your questions. I can't believe I finally got through it. And I did want to give a little update about the second denial series. I touched on a little bit before, but I am working on it every day, a little something here and there. Now that you know a little bit more about my process, it does take me a while to get something down and finished. And I only want to give you the best of me. So it's taking longer than I would have hoped. Maybe this will just end up being an annual thing for everybody. I don't want to be that silent on the House of Opal subreddit. So maybe after I get this down, my plan is to do more like a 3-day denial series, or maybe something that's constantly ongoing. I have plans for that page, and I just really want to get this second one down and have something to play with. Also, too, I don't really feel that much of a rush because series one is still active. There are always participants going through it. So for me, it never really has died out. So I'm sorry for those of you that have waited a long time for it. I really, really am working on it. Thank you so much for coming back, checking in time after time, and being a listener and communicating with me and everything. It's a very special experience. Thank you so much for being a part of it. To all my good boys, be seeing you around.